You're listening to 1001 Album Club, where each episode we discuss a different album from Robert Emery's book, 1001 Albums You Must Hear Before You Die. So we'll be talking about Happy Mondays, Pills and Thrills, and Belly Aches. In the room, I have Rob.
Oh, hey, buddy.
And on the line, I have Ben.
Yippee, yippee, ya, gaga.
Pills and Thrills and Belly Aches is the third studio album by the English rock band Happy Mondays, released on the 5th of November, 1990 by Factory Records. The producer was Paul Oakenfold and Steve Osborne, and the genre is Madchester and rock. I'm going to read from the book.
Don't forget about Baggy.
Chris Shade. Pills and Thrills and Belly Aches entered the UK charts at number one. Housed in a psychedelic collage of candy wrappers, Paul Oakenfold and collaborator Steve Osborne had previously enjoyed success with the Mondays cover of John Congo's He's Gonna Step On You Again, renamed Step On. Its chunky bass line and shuffling rhythm gave the Mondays their biggest hit. The band's grimy industrial funk is married with subtle dance beats. Sean Ryder's twisted lyrical genius attains new heights with its wholly unique take on modern life, crap jobs, drugs, sex, violence, and murky low life. Kinky Afro's conversation between a self-pitying runaway father and his scornful son prompted Factory Supremo Tony Wilson to pronounce it, quote, the greatest lyrical musing on parenthood since W.B. Yeats' Prayer for My Daughter. The hook was whipped wholesale from LaBelle's Lady Marmalade. Latin jazz and hip-hop influences shaped the album highlights such as Donovan and the sleazy Bob's Your Uncle. Loose Fit marries dark dub textures to thinly veiled references to the flared trouser the group had brought back into fashion, while God's Cop takes a swipe at James Anderton, the chief constable of Manchester City Police, who claimed to have a hotline to God. They never reached these astronomic heights again, but the Happy Mondays helped to bring rock music kicking and screaming into the ecstasy age. All right, what do we think of Happy Mondays, Pills and Thrills, and Belly Aches?
Fucking loved it.
I really enjoyed my listen.
Yeah,
from the get go, Birchu and I were this is like a thing that we know.
I figured it, and I don't know where.
How'd you figure it?
Okay, so it was an album I was listening to. It was like in the early 2000s. For some reason, I was listening to.
College.
Yeah, but not for everyone. But something had happened where I was listening to a lot of bands, probably, you know, Pavement and some other, just all the different types of music. I swear there was someone who like referenced Happy Mondays in this particular album, saying it's a great album. And I listened to this album on the regular.
You went on LimeWire.
I think I probably went to the library. But I listened to this album on the regular. And then for whatever reason, it's like I lost the CD or something, and then I completely forgot about it for like 20 years.
Okay.
And last week, this week, it came back to me, and I was like, I know this song. Wait, I know this song too. Oh, I know this song. And it just,
oh, that's awesome.
There's something about it, just like had completely been out of my mind for the past, you know,
20
for the longest
years.
Yeah. And I was like, oh yeah, that's probably bound to happen to you. You listen to like an album for a while, and if it's just not in your purview, like you're just kind of gonna kind of forget about it. But yeah, I was such a wonderful return to listening to something that you're very familiar with, but at the same time felt new, felt exciting and new.
Yeah, truly, like this sounds incredibly fresh.
Yeah,
like, it does. It does.
To my 42-year-old ears. Like, this gets conflated with that first Stone Roses record a lot.
Yeah.
And I wasn't as into the Stone Roses as I am to this. And yeah, like, they just, everything in the fucking kitchen sink gets thrown, like, into this recording, and it fucking works. Somehow, mystically works.
It's the repetition. It's the beats. I think it's truly...
It's got a good yeah. vibe, good groove.
The groove. Yeah. Paul Oakenfold.
Oh, that old chestnut?
Who was...
the greatest DJ of all time from 1998?
At this time, you know, he was a respected underground DJ, but he was not a top 40 producer at the time. And so when they got him to do the album... their label was looking at him like, oh, you're gonna wrangle these guys? Like, these guys are out of their fucking gourds, and you're gonna be the one to bring them into the studio and get it done? And he was like, trust me, I'll do it, I'll get it done. So,
man, that's cool, because I misunderstood that when I was reading about the album. I thought, like, with Paul Oakenfold as a producer, what I thought that meant was Happy Mondays went to the studio, laid down some grooves and stuff, and then took the tapes to Paul Oakenfold,
and he
made it, like, made a sound out of it. But I didn't know that, like, Paul Oakenfold was the one wrangling cats and setting mics and stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's,
I mean,
cool.
It's both situations. It's not that he didn't also do the production. He would grab the drums, he would loop them, he would grab the bass, he would loop it, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. he knew how to do that, and I think it's really inventive, interesting that they have a DJ as a producer. You know, he's part producer. I mean, there's two producers, but having that person with the knowledge of being like, oh yeah, we can just chop this in, we yep. can make this, add a drum machine here, you know, and like having the knowledge of both the...
I'm hearing the guitar experience. Solo in my cans right now, which yeah. is just a fucking loop.
Yeah, exactly.
It made me curious what the Happy Mondays sounded like in 1990 if you just would walk into their practice space and hear them playing without Paul Oakenfold adding beats and chopping stuff, editing, sweetening. I really like the way this album sounds. I think they made a good decision. I think that he did a good job as a producer. It just makes me curious what this band sounds like in their natural state before they are treated by a DJ.
Absolutely. You can check out Top of the Pops around this time. They were featured on that. And there's plenty of live footage that you can see around this time, because obviously, like I said, it went to number one, sold 400,000 copies in the UK alone.
That's wild.
Was a big deal. You know, the Happy Mondays, I don't think I had really put together just how big it was.
We didn't get that over here.
Right, right.
No.
It was the thing that, it was the dance party. It was the Manchester scene at that time where, over here, we got it. We saw it, but it just wasn't the explosion like it was with the second Summer of Love that they were bringing over there. I have a clip from Sean Ryder. He says, Oki, which is his name for Oakenfold, was a top geezer. Fucking lovely fella, and he really changed the way we recorded and the way we wrote. It's so ironic that our first tracks together were covers. You never wanted to listen to things too closely when you're doing a cover, do you? I'm pretty sure we just heard the two John Congo songs once in the studio, and then we did our version, which is why it's a bit fucking garbled. That's what we did. Rip and run, which is what the kids today, hip-hop and sampling, you know, take a bit of a song and make it your own. So, yeah, they kind of convinced them to do... They didn't want to do that cover, but they convinced them to do the...
What, Step On?
Yep, to do the Step On cover. And then it became, you know, a breakout hit, and that's how they started creating the album.
So they're able to afford their crack habit.
That's... Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So many. My favorite too is I Was Dancing Like Bez. And if you don't know what Bez dance is like, you should
I know exactly what Bez dance is like.
Look up the Happy Mondays, and whoever's dancing that all cooked out is probably Bez.
Right. Always Bez.
But
we're gonna talk about Bez for a second once you're done.
In the studio, I was listening. I was like, oh, there's those maracas. That's probably Bez, you know, doing it. And then they were like, no, Bez cannot keep a beat, and he is not a professional percussionist. He's out of the studio. And to me, Bez was probably, I'm just putting myself in his shoes. He's probably like, all right, I'll go fuck off to the pub, go have some ecstasy and have a beer, and you guys record it. I'll come back when you when you need me.
And Birch, that's a you and I were both trying to tell the same story from different angles. I'm glad you brought up Bez. What blows my mind about the Happy Mondays is that they've got a guy on their payroll that just gets high and dances, and they still need to pay another guy to shake maracas. Like that blows my fucking mind. Like, dude, Bez, just because you can't play maracas today doesn't mean you can't play maracas next week. Just learn how to play maracas, Bez. Save the band from having to hire Tony Castro to come in and play maracas. They've already got you, and you're not doing shit. You know, like, you just dance. You can't hear dancing on an album. So make yourself useful, Bez. I don't know. I'm sure Bez is a great guy, but I think he's, I don't know.
It's true.
Dead weight in the studio. You
should,
you know?
Yeah. You should at least have a little bit on the studio. One of these songs just comes on and I'm instantly like, oh yeah, this song. It's an endless party. That's what this album feels like, is just like a party album. That every song, and I will say the songs are the right length, like the four minute mark. Yeah. You're like, all right, let's move on to the next song.
Yep.
And you can imagine, you know, live they can extend it, sure, great, but they don't sit there and just wallow in this endless, like, jam out of everything. It's great. The first track they were recording, Kinky Afro, they always would bring in, like, drums and bass, but they really, Osborne labored over to get a certain, quote-unquote, baggy sound. They were doing it over and over and over, trying to get this sort of, it's almost like a
808 State Shaman.
Loops over itself so it doesn't feel so rigid. I think that's the real magic of this album, is that everything feels right, but it feels so loose in its construction.
Yep.
Yeah. And there's a lot of bands that, you know, have done that. I know recently we were talking about Pavement, and that's a band too, where it feels, it's like, very good players, but they're playing intentionally slightly before, mm-hmm. after the beat to have that sort of feeling. Also got a lot of, I know it's probably a completely just strange thing to say, but Pure Ubu kind of vibes on this, where they
You're not wrong.
They would have these sort of dynamics of this, like, caterwauling vocals over a repeated theme of backing
a weird dubby noise,
like, dub, yeah
for sure. I really enjoyed the whole the entirety of the record. Kreisgau gave it two, kind of like a this kind of works, it's like just a couple of asterisks, and his thoughts on it were their voidoids is hotter than their dance music, quote, dance music, unquote. And I don't quite know what that means.
I don't know what that means either. I read that.
Because I'm trying to, like, think of, like, Richard Hell.
That's what it referenced.
That's the only voidoid I know.
But, like, I don't know where Richard Hell comes into this.
I don't either.
So I think Kreisgau might be off his fucking rocker with that one. Dave Simpson of the magazine Uncut, his assertion of the whole thing was that the band's decision to work with Oakenfold and Osborne actually inspired everything that happened from Achtung Baby, the U2 record, and Prodigy's Firestarter, and also Blur's hooking up with William Orbit and Suede's aligning with themselves. But yeah, this broke the mold from the from the Madchester baggy dance scene and bringing rock and roll into it, and it pushed things forward.
Yeah,
I hear a lot of garbage in this, to be totally honest.
Oh, garbage! Yeah, yeah, that is a great connection.
Yeah,
the repetition of that bass over these sort of cool delivered lyrics, especially on a song we're listening to right now, Loose Fit.
Yep.
Which might be my favorite song.
It's a good song.
It had a lot of vibes for Morphine. I'm just gonna, you know, big Morphine fan, and it had that sort of cool jazz driving.
I guess we put that band on the
it's
the Patreon.
I put like four of those albums on the Patreon, so okay. Don't
are
worry.
We not getting any Morphine?
Cool. No, but we will.
Really?
We're gonna talk about that.
We're gonna make it work then.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's not enough baritone sax in the 90s.
Yeah. It also has the sort of vibe of the Sopranos opening song.
Yeah, the who did that again?
I knew right before you asked me.
Yep, right.
That is Woke Up This Morning by British group.
It's Alabama 3.
Thank you.
But yeah, I loved it. It's just got, he's got really nice direct lyrics that get stuck in your head. You know, that Lady Marmalade. I don't know. It has.
By nice direct lyrics, are you saying yippee, yippee, ya, ya, da, da?
Right. He brings in elements, all sorts of elements that are simple concepts, but evocative of what the song is going for.
Hey, guys, can I ask you guys a dumb question? Because I really don't know. Was the Baz Luhrmann
Moulin Rouge
was a Gitchy Gitchy Ya Ya Ya?
Yeah, that's a reference to a traditional. Yeah,
and so they're referencing that with a okay, cool.
That was the okay. Moulin Rouge was a cover of Patti LaBelle's song from the 70s, and Happy Mondays. He basically just borrows the hook.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah. There's numerous instances within this album where he is picking out tropes. He's picking out different lyrics that he's heard on other things. And
we can say sampling.
Yeah. Yeah. But like he's sampling, just vocally sampling, you know? So I love the sort of reinterpretation stuff. I do think it's funny. Writer claimed the song's vocal hook from a groovy afro was taken from the film Die Hard.
Yeah, yippee-ki-yay is where he says he got it.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Yeah, yeah.
Motherfucker.
Oh, sorry. It was initially called a groovy afro, then it was kinky afro. Yeah.
I mean, he might think that he got it from Die Hard, but he got it from Patti LaBelle.
right. Yeah. Totally. And then, yeah, there's other references like the Delta Blues riff on, was it God's Cop? That's just Me, Myself, and I. Drum loop is from Me, Myself, and I by De La Soul. Donovan, which retreads Mad Cyril from Bummed. So their other album, you know, it's like... and then borrows a lyric from Donovan's Sunshine Superman.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great. I feel like I always like when artists have that, when it's not too obvious or when they kind of reinterpret these things. Yeah, have some quotes here. Good quotes from Paul Oakenfold and Johnny Congos. Paul Oakenfold says, "It was a tricky job. I was given £100,000 to go to LA, come back with an album. So I had London Records on my case, Tony Wilson on my case, 10 guys running riot around LA and the buck stop with me. The Mondays like to socialize. They ended up dragging a dozen of their mates to LA to keep them company. That's what he says. So I had to make sure to get it done. And says, boy, did we party. We had all the convertibles, like in Bullet, and we rolled. We fucking rolled. But I had to get the balance right, and we had to be disciplined in the studio. I remember this bigwig from Elektra coming down to Capitol Records while we were recording. This is the studio where Frank Sinatra and Nat King Cole recorded. The Beach Boys did Pet Sounds, and this bigwig was standing there in his linen suit and shades watching these Scully fucks fucking around, and he looked absolutely horrified. I had to go placate him and say, no, just trust me, it'll all sound great when it's done. Honestly, it worked with Step On, so I knew it would work with the rest of the album. God.
I mean, he was right. This album works.
It works really well.
It's fucking great.
All the little touches, all the little, yeah. Journal de Brazil, Arthur called it disappointing, stating that the titles of the songs match the monotony of their sound.
Interesting.
I don't really pick up on the Rolling Stones. This is a completely the Rolling Stones do not have a dubby vibe bass, like looped drum element.
Like late 60s, like Her Majesty's Satanic Majesty's Request, where they were just getting like really heady, you know, like it wasn't dub, but it was like really vibey.
I could see maybe the gospel, the backing tracks, like the sort of we're listening to right now, Dennis and Lois, and they got that sort of like backing track where people are singing along. I could see a little bit, but
I really just thought they were trying to pin a thing that people knew onto what these other kids were doing.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's completely unwarranted. This is a dance band.
Yeah, it makes my butt shake, but so do the Stones.
I don't even.
Mm-hmm.
The only way I would say also compared to the Stone Roses is the sort of a psychedelic, the just those slight touches there within some of the songs.
But and they're practically neighbors.
Yeah, they are neighbors.
Yeah, so you're gonna get a little bit of crossover in vibes and stuff. John Congo's, when he was asked about the cover, Step On, he said he heard the Monday's version. He's going to step on you again. He said, I actually did call the cops because Sean twisted my melon, man. But I soon grew to love this very different version. People come up to me now in Arizona and say, I didn't know you did a cover of the Happy Monday song. That's so cool.
Wow. Really twist my melon, man.
Yeah. I was surprised that was the single, to tell you the truth. I listened to it and I was like, okay, this is a fine song, but
was it not the single? Because that was supposed to be the song that they put towards a cover record that they were going to be doing.
Wasn't it recorded like before the rest of
it was
of the
recorded
stuff?
Before the record it was released. Yeah. Became a big single.
Okay,
so but I'm just surprised that was they pushed them to do this cover, maybe just to get them to do something.
I don't think they pushed them to do that cover. I think they chose that cover because they didn't want to do the other covers.
Right. They gave them a selection of a couple. Yeah, I can't imagine also seeing this band with the Pixies.
I can. And it would have been amazing.
That would have been a wild show. But apparently on 1988, they were on tour with
the
Pixies.
They opened the forum.
Mm-hmm. I just love the vibe of this record.
Me too, man.
I can't get enough of it. When I listened to that Stone Roses record too, I had the same reaction. I was like, I love the Manchester rock scene.
Somehow this is still easier for me than from that.
Yeah, sure.
From that. And I don't know where. I don't know why that is.
Well, this
what happens in the next like 2 years that takes us from this to Oasis for the Manchester scene?
The drugs wear out for this band, and yep. Oasis has a sound that makes sense.
Yeah, I would say Oasis harkens back to the skiffle, like the Laws were doing.
Sure.
And
people... Happy Mondays and Stone Roses are pills. Oasis is pints.
Yeah. Yeah, probably, maybe. Also, I think that this type of dance music becomes more... What would you say? More house music.
This pushes more towards the trip hop, actually.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Slow this riff down in our ears right now. And
yeah.
Bob's is this Step Uncle. On that we're listening to?
No, Bob's Your Uncle.
This is Bob's Your Uncle. Yeah. I just saw a recent as in like last couple of years, a headline regarding Sean Ryder. Just says, Happy Monday star Sean Ryder says he's taking more pills than ever because, quote, getting old is really shit.
Yep. To me, this is one of those records that maybe they were comparing them to the Rolling Stones, because this is one of those records like Exile where you're just like, how did they get their shit together long enough to create a good album?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that comparison.
I don't know if there's some girls like 3 years off from this.
Yeah, yeah.
This band, but no, I totally get that.
All right, one more quote from Sean. That was really about making a pop album. He insists it's all very well making indie albums and have indie sales. It sounds great making indie albums, but at the end of the day, if you don't want a job in fucking McDonald's to scrape money together, you've got to sell some albums. We're all big fans of pop music and all those great bands, whether it's the Kinks or the Beatles or the Stones. They all, at the end of the day, make pop music. We wanted to change the charts a bit and be up there with Duran Duran and try something a bit different. I think so.
And I got one more from Ben Cardewin, who did a piece for DJ Mag. He said that tracks such as Kinky Afro, Loose Fit, and God's Cop erased the, quote, genre distinctions between rock, funk, soul, and dance music, making it perfectly natural for a band raised in rainy Manchester to create sunshine funk music.
Yeah.
Unquote.
I get that. Yeah, absolutely.
I get it. I love the melting.
It works, man.
It works really well.
It shouldn't, and it does.
Yeah. I like when things work and they're not supposed to work, where they shouldn't work.
I'm all that's on, like on the positive.
Some of my favorites.
Put your fucking chocolate in my peanut butter all the time, man.
Yeah.
Positive for me. I enjoy listening to this.
Yeah.
Guys, I fucking love this record.
Yeah. It's great. It's going to go.
Surprisingly so. And it didn't take me long to get into it.
Yeah.
But the more that I listen to it, I'm like, why not? And then my fucking shoulders start doing these like weird like isolation pops.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking amazing.
Cool album art. I like the new spin on like the old vintage postcard aesthetic, like the Greetings from Asbury Park.
Specifically, the candy wrappers are American.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really, really good.
And that's why you have a belly ache. Too much candy.
In the book, there's a quote from Bez. Our success was because of ecstasy. We started making sense to everybody.
Thanks, Bez.
Thanks, Bez. There's also a big picture of Bez. on the opposite page.
And not he the plays band. Maracas
he
every
has maracas
night.
In hand.
Yeah.
Every night on tour, he plays maracas for like 2 hours, yet he has not yet learned how to play maracas. Like, it just blows my damn mind.
Thank you, Bez, for your service.
All right, next time we'll be talking about George Michael, Listen Without Prejudice, Volume 1. All right, thanks, y'all. Don't know what you saw, but you know it's against the law, and you know that you want some more.